From the Love We're Finding studios in Memphis, Tennessee, I'm Byron Tyler here with Carrie Vaughn, the CEO of Love We're Finding. Carrie, today Adrian Rogers looks at when nothing seems to make sense. This is part one in a message from the book of Genesis, chapter 39, verses 20 through 23. And this is the story of Joseph. I'm always captivated when I read the life of Joseph.
Oh, I love it. And isn't it a wonderful picture of the life of Christ? As we look at Joseph from the pit to Potiphar's place to the prison and eventually to the palace, we see one common theme. God was with him. God was with him. God was with him. And everything he did prospered. And so I think, you know, we see here that when nothing makes sense, we understand that God is still in control.
I mean, this was all for the fact that he did nothing wrong.
You know?
And I know we have listeners right now. They're in places maybe in their employment where they maybe have been reprimanded for something that they honestly did not do wrong. And so there are times when we have our character and we're following Christ and we're being the example of Jesus in the workplace, on the school campus, and, you know, things happen, even when we're doing the right things.
Right. That's right. Life happens, but hey, we are faithful. We're not bitter. We don't change, right? We are steadfast. And I think this is the message today that gives us the encouragement that here's the secret ingredient. We look over our shoulder and we see what God has already done, right? Hindsight's 20/20. And so we go back and we look at God's track record and we realize he's batting 1,000. And he will never, ever forsake us or leave us. So why would he do that now?
Well, I love what Adrian Rogers says. There's coming a day when God will make everything right. Don't lose faith when it doesn't make sense to you. And I really love that.
Amen. Amen. I think Adrian also said, never doubt in the darkness what God has shown you in the light.
Well, Carrie, this letter from Texas from a listener, I listen to your ministry every weekday. I enjoy it so much. The sermons always touch on things that are going on in my life. I'm learning a lot. I pray that God continues to use you to help lead people such as myself to Christ.
Wonderful. Wonderful. What a great message. What a great response. And that's exactly the gas in our tank, Byron, the reason why we do what we do at Love Worth Finding.
Well, Carrie, these listeners are being encouraged through the broadcast, but there's also from LWF a basically warehouse full of resources.
Great word. LWF.org. If you're teaching a class, if it's personal study, hey, if you're a pastor and you're looking for content, everything is at your fingertips. I love it. Also, take time to download the app, LWF Ministries, and enjoy that new product there. And also, I just want to say that shipping is free. Take advantage of the free shipping. And hey, send materials to a friend or family member during this time. Also, let me say this. When nothing seems to make sense, we know this. There's never any panic in heaven, and God is still on the throne. Amen?
Amen. And as we look at when nothing seems to make sense, here's Adrian Rogers.
Be finding Genesis chapter 39, would you please? And the title of the message today, Practicing the Presence of God When Nothing Seems to Make Sense. I didn't say when nothing makes sense. When nothing seems to make sense. Practicing the presence of God. There's an old story, but a good one, about a man who was a brick mason, a bricklayer. And he had too many bricks on top of a building, so he decided to bring them down to the ground. He went up to the third or fourth story, wherever it was, put a yardarm out from the roof, and put a pulley in it, tied a rope to it, hoisted a barrel to the roof, loaded the barrel with the extra bricks, went down to the ground and untied the rope. At that time, he realized that a barrel full of bricks was heavier than a man. So when the brick started down, he started up. Well, he said he made a mistake, that he forgot to let go of the rope. He held on until it was too late. And so halfway up, he and the barrel met. The barrel struck him on the shoulder, gave him a severe wound, but he said, I managed to hold on until I reached the top. And then he said, I wedged my fingers in the pulley. Said, at that time, the barrel hit the ground and the bottom came out, left all the bricks, therefore making the barrel lighter than I. He said, then I started down and the barrel started up. This time, the barrel met me at the shins and gave me another severe wound. But he said, I still managed to hold on until I fell on the ground and hit that pile of sharp cornered bricks. He said, it was then that I lost my presence of mind, let go of the rope, the barrel came down and hit me on the head. The man applied for a few days off. Now, I think sometimes we feel that way. We're up and down, we don't know whether to hold on or let go, and we're getting hit from every side. Now with this man, his problem was easily discerned. Number one, he wasn't very good at physics. Number two, he wasn't very bright. And his problem was his own problem. He made his problem. But what do you do when you're doing nothing wrong? When you're applying proper principles and nothing seems to make sense, you're being battered from every hand. What do you do when life doesn't make sense? Now we have a lot of little cliches. When you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hold on. That's a real blessing, isn't it? Or somebody says, just grin and bear it. Or cheer up. It could be worse. And generally it does get worse, doesn't it? Now what do you do? Well, this chapter in the book of Genesis, chapter 39, is going to tell us some things that we can do. Some principles that we can apply when life doesn't seem to make sense. This is a chapter, I say, in the life of Joseph. Joseph, who was a man of God, who loved God with all of his heart, found himself in great difficulty. He had been sold by his brothers as a slave. He's carried down by a caravan into Egypt. And there he is bought by a man named Potiphar, who is the head of the Egyptian guard. And there he is a slave in Potiphar's household. Let's look, if you will, in Genesis chapter 39, verses 20 and 23. And I believe that will give us what we're talking about. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But now notice verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. There he is in prison. But the Bible says, but the Lord was with Joseph. I want to give you some prison principles. How to practice the presence of God when you are in a dungeon, in a prison, and it is not your fault at all. Joseph here, as I say, was a slave. He was bought by Potiphar. He was put in charge of Potiphar's household. Joseph was such a man of integrity and such a man of industry that even as a slave, Potiphar found himself trusting Joseph more and more, and Joseph is rising higher and higher in Potiphar's house until finally he is taking care of all of the affairs of Mr. Potiphar. Potiphar so trusted Joseph that he said, the only thing I know that I really own is the food in front of me. It's all in Joseph's hands. Joseph was an incredible individual, and even as a slave, God was with him and he is ascending higher and higher and higher. But Joseph was a young man, handsome, the Bible tells us, and virile, and Potiphar's wife began to lust after Joseph and tried to seduce him. Joseph refused Potiphar's wife. She took him by the coat and tried to drag him into bed with her. He refused with such vigor that he left his coat and escaped, fled, and was it Victor Hugo who said, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned. She was so insulted, so embarrassed, that she decided she would get even with the young man, and she began to scream that he had assaulted her, and she disheveled her hair. She perhaps tore her clothing a little bit, maybe even scratched her face, I don't know. But she still had Joseph's coat in her hand, and she told the other men there, this young Egyptian tried to do this terrible, horrible thing to me. When Potiphar came home, it was reported to Potiphar, and Joseph is now cast into prison. He is totally innocent. He has been serving God, and now nothing seems to make sense. There he is in prison. Now, I want us to look at this story today. I want to give you five principles. If things happen to you one day that do not make sense, they will sometime happen to you. Number one, when you're in a situation like this and things don't seem to make sense, don't demand to understand. Don't demand to understand. Now, Joseph had not sinned against God. Joseph had done absolutely nothing wrong. What Joseph was doing was right. I imagine at this time when Joseph was doing right, when he was serving the Lord with all of his heart, and he got cast into prison, he's lied about, falsely accused, that Satan whispered in Joseph's ear and said to him, "Now, where is your God? What good does it do you now to serve God?" There are going to come times in your life, my friend, when nothing seems to make sense. Now, I'm not saying that you should not try to understand. If difficulty comes your way, try to understand. But here's a verse I thought about as I was studying this passage of Scripture. Many people use this verse as their life's verse, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." He shall direct thy paths. Now notice what it says. It says, "Lean not to your own understanding." There will be things that you do not understand and do not demand to understand. May I give you a companion verse? Isaiah chapter 50, verses 10 and 11. The prophet Isaiah asked this question, and it's a good question. "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of the fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow." Now look at that verse. Look at it. Isaiah 50. Listen to it. What does it teach? It teaches that you can be serving God, you can be obeying God's Word, and still have darkness. You can come to a time of perplexity, a time when you don't understand, and yet you have done nothing wrong. Do not get the distorted idea that the Christian life is all joy and sweetness and that you always understand. Sometimes we give the wrong impression when we tell people they need to come to Jesus, as if their life, if they come to Jesus, is going to be on an ever-ascending scale of joy and light and victory in youth and a serene old age and a happy family life and a glorious exit into heaven. It does not happen that way. And as you study the Bible, you're going to find out that many of God's greatest saints were walking in darkness part of their lives. Job, one of the greatest characters in the Old Testament, lived in a time of darkness and he was perplexed. He couldn't understand. As a matter of fact, he wanted to argue with God. He demanded to understand, and he was wrong when he did. It was as if he said, "God, you owe me some answers." Now, Job did not understand, but God understood. You can read about the prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk, a great prophet, a man of God, could not understand why history was doing what it was doing, why God was allowing the Chaldeans to get away with all of their sin, why there was so much violence and brutality. Have you ever wondered? Have you ever picked up the newspaper, as we're wont to do, and read the newspaper and read about what is happening in Hollywood, read about the dope, the vice, the corruption in politics, and we say, "God, where are you? God, why don't you do something? Lord, I don't understand." Habakkuk was that way. John the Baptist. Jesus said there was not a greater than John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the one who baptized the Lord Jesus, a mighty prophet, and yet Herod took John the Baptist and put him in prison. John was so perplexed in prison, he began to wonder if Jesus were even the Messiah. the one who had already said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." John the Baptist sent messengers to Jesus saying, "Are you really the one who should come? Or should we look for somebody else?" John the Baptist was perplexed. The Apostle Paul wrote more books in the New Testament than anybody else. The greatest Christian who ever lived wrote to the Corinthians and said, "We are perplexed." Do you know what perplexed means? It means we don't understand. Now, Job, Habakkuk, John the Baptist, Paul, and you, sir, and you, gentlemen, and Adrian, and the rest of us are going to come to times in our lives when, friend, it will not make sense. Now, if you think it's always going to make sense, you're going to be in spiritual trouble. As a matter of fact, in this passage in Isaiah chapter 50, it says, "Who is my servant that follows me, obeys me, and walks in darkness and hath no light?" Listen to me. The darkness can never put out the light. Never. So therefore, if there is no light, it is only because the light has been withdrawn. The darkness never chases it away. Now, if you're in darkness, that does not mean that the devil has prevailed. If God takes away the light, then you just simply trust God and do not demand to understand. If there is darkness, you can say this at least, that God has allowed it. There are some things that we are not meant to understand. Joseph did not understand what God was up to. When finally we get to the end of this book in chapter 50, we'll find out that what happened to Joseph was a part of a great mosaic that God was working. But listen to what the Bible says in Isaiah 55 now, verses 8 and 9. God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Now, how far is up? You tell me. You can't. How much higher are God's thoughts than your thoughts? You tell me. You cannot. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts. Listen to me. Just because it does not make sense to you does not mean it does not make sense. And just because it does not make sense now, that does not mean it will not make sense later on. Not now, but in the coming years, it may be in the better land. We'll understand the meaning of our tears, and there we'll understand. The first principle, when life doesn't make sense, don't demand to understand. Try to understand if you can, but don't demand to understand. Number two, don't fail to be faithful. Now look in verses 21 and following in this chapter here. "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him," that is, with Joseph, "and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Now, here is a man, for no seeming reason, actually for doing good, is cast into prison. And now he, there in the prison, is not sitting and sulking, but he is serving the Lord. He is very faithful, so faithful that he is a man of industry, he is a man of integrity, and there in the prison, in a time of darkness and in time of persecution, he is serving God. In the next chapter, we're going to find him witnessing to the butler and the baker who have also been cast into prison, and we're going to find out that he is a man who in the prison himself could put his arms around these pagans and kindle in their pagan heart a knowledge of Jehovah God. The point being this, even when Joseph could not understand, he was not a fair weather Christian. He did not begin to pout. He did not get angry at God. I have seen it so many times in my pastorate. I've seen church members who are some of the most faithful church members we've had. They sing in the choir, they witness, they tithe, they're faithful, they're happy, they're joyful, but let a grandbaby die, or let a husband die, or let a sickness come, let cancer come, let something happen that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Do you know what they do? They drop out. They quit serving. They fold up. Don't do it. Even when it doesn't make sense, continue to serve the Lord. Keep singing. Keep praying. Keep giving. Keep witnessing. Keep submitting. Joseph did, and the Bible says that God was with him. In chapter 39, verse 2, when Joseph is in Potiphar's house and everything seems to be fine, things have turned for Joseph, the Bible says, and God was with him. But you look now in chapter 39, verse 21, when he is in prison, the same God that was with him in the good times is the God that was with him in the bad times. Now, when it doesn't make sense to you, number one, don't demand understand. Number two, don't fail to be faithful. Don't drop out. Keep on serving God even when you don't understand. Number three, don't bow to bitterness. Don't get bitter. Now, turn to chapter 40, if you will, and look in verses 14 and 15. Joseph is now talking to a butler. The butler's been cast into prison, and he's going to be released from prison. And Joseph knows that because he's a butler, he's going to serve in the presence of Pharaoh. Perhaps he can speak to Pharaoh on his behalf, and here's what he says. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, that is when you're out of prison, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. He said, first of all, I was sold as a slave, and now I'm in the dungeon. I've done nothing wrong. Mr. Butler, would you put in a good word for me? Because I need to get out of this place. Now, as I read that, I thought about Joseph's spirit and what a marvelous spirit that he had. As you read this, there is not a note of bitterness or complaint that is found there at all. It is a remarkable statement. He doesn't even mention the name of his brothers who sold him into slavery. He doesn't even mention Potiphar's wife. He doesn't mention Potiphar at all. He's content to leave them with God. Now, when things go wrong, when you're serving God and you're punished for serving God, don't get bitter. Here's a good verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults that ye take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. What a great verse to describe the life of Joseph so long ago. We need to be very careful about this matter of bitterness. You're going to find yourself not only dropping out when things don't make sense, but if you're not careful, you're going to get very, very bitter.
How do you avoid that bitterness? Well, we're going to pick up with part two of this message tomorrow and find out the answer to that important question. In the meantime, maybe you're in a season when nothing seems to make sense. Perhaps you need a reminder of the truth of the gospel. If so, go to our Discover Jesus page. You'll find it at lwf.org/radio. You'll also find resources and materials that can anchor your faith in a season of difficulty. Just go to lwf.org/radio and click Discover Jesus. Well, we're so glad that you joined us for our study in God's Word today. Remember, it's not how you react when you're punished for doing wrong, but how you react when you're persecuted for doing right. Be sure to join us tomorrow for the conclusion of this insightful message right here on Love Worth Finding.